While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from Acts chapter 2, the first 12 verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Thus far the reading of God's Word. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, our passage contains a very good question. It's found in verse 12, "Whatever could this mean?" People have asked this question over the years when it comes to the day of Pentecost or Pentecostalism. Whatever could this mean? Some people ask it like this: whatever could this mean? What's going on? This question is asked because of the events which just occurred. We just read the passage. Put up with this summary. The disciples were gathered on the day of Pentecost, a particular day on the calendar. They were together. They were in one place. It might have been 120 people gathered in one place. There was a roaring sound from heaven. Heaven. The very place that they had recently witnessed Jesus ascending into. They looked up into the heavens in Acts chapter 1. Jesus just went there, now we're hearing a sound from there. The very place we witnessed Jesus going. It sounded like a rushing, violent, stormy wind. Sound and wind came together. Whatever could this mean? Think of a tornado. The sound of a tornado. Definitive and demanding, deafening. It says that this filled the whole house where they were sitting. Everyone was seated. Everyone was sitting down. Whatever could this mean? But that's not all. The question, whatever could this mean, pertained to some other thing. Some fire appeared. Cloven flames of fire. Licking, flicking, flashing, tongues of fire. Sitting and resting on each of them. So they were sitting, and these licking, flicking, flashing tongues of fire were sitting on them. On each of them. Wind and noise, and now wind and fire. What is this? Whatever could this mean? Wind, spirit, breath, fire. This is the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And then something else happens. Whatever could this mean? And we've taught on this in the past. We're not going to get into it today. They began to speak with other tongues. The scriptures are clear. The Spirit, the wind and the fire, the Spirit, which was present, gave them utterance, gave them the ability to speak. These were known languages. This is clear from the Bible. These were known languages. This is not some kind of angels speak. This is not some kind of gibberish. We know this because later on when others heard this, Verse 6 says, they heard them speak in our own languages. People from other nations heard them speaking in their native tongues. Whatever could this mean? It's evident that whatever this was, the wind and the flame and the utterances, happened to them both in private and then in public. It happened when they were sitting there together, all in one accord, and then it spilled out into the city streets. Because the multitudes heard the sound, what's going on, and apparently people saw something, and they certainly heard their own languages. There were dwelling there in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Pick a nation, there was a representative there. When this sound occurred, the multitude all gathered together. What's going on? And we've heard this. What was that sound? And then people will all gather. They were confused. I don't get this because I'm hearing this in my own language. And are these not Galileans? Aren't they from this region just a few ticks away from here? How are they speaking in these other languages? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then, of course, there's a listing of some of the nations, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those who dwell in Mesopotamia. You get the idea. What's going on? Whatever could this mean? This chapter is filled with some curious events. Curious events. It's all very interesting. Some think it is sensational. That's just sensational. Other people think it's just weird. These are the events of that day of Pentecost. That day of Pentecost. The reality about Pentecost is this. It is a one-time event with ongoing effects. Pentecost is a one-time occurrence where the results continue to this very day. Okay. Summary. Before we get into what this sermon is really all about, summary. This is that which was spoken of by John the Baptist. You heard it in the gospel lesson today. What did John the Baptist say? You know what? I'm baptizing you with water, but someone is going to come after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Spirit and fire are going to come together. Wind and fire are going to come together. John the Baptist said it was going to happen. By the way, I'm not even worthy to loosen or to carry his footwear. This is what's going to happen. Someone's going to come after me. And if you were to read on in Matthew's gospel, then all of a sudden Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is what the early disciples were waiting for. In our New Testament reading today, you heard that the disciples were waiting. Jesus had said, wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized you with water. But pretty soon, in just a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, just wait. And sure enough, before we can even turn a page in our Bibles, whatever this could be, happens. Wind and sound and flames of fire and languages. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the fulfillment of what Jesus said. I'm going to send my helper. I will send the helper. He'll be with you forever. This is the presence of God. This is the presence of God. This is what enables the church to be the church. Consider this. As we discussed briefly last week, Jesus has just departed bodily. Jesus' body is no longer on earth. But Jesus' body, the church, is on earth. And Jesus' body, the church, is to continue doing what Jesus was doing. You need the Holy Spirit. So the question is asked, whatever could this mean? What I'd like to do today is to give you an additional look, a holding the Bible with both hands look as to whatever this could mean. All right? The very first verse of Acts chapter 2. I'd like you to look at it. This translation, and perhaps yours, says this, renders it this way. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. When the day of Pentecost had fully... What does that mean? When the day finally arrived? When we made it up till about noon? No. There's another way that the Greek words could be rendered here, and I'm going to share it with you now. When the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, that's when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all together in one place. What's going on? What do you mean the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost? Here we go. To understand this fulfillment, what we have to do is we have to look back a little bit to the Old Covenant feast or festival of Pentecost. We have to look back just a little bit. So bear with me for just a moment. I'm going to give you some background before we run ahead. Okay? In the Old Covenant, the feasts or the festival calendar was something like a catechism. It was an instruction in time, month after month after month. Israel's calendar rehearsed God's works and God's ways. Israel's calendar also shaped the behavior and the practices of the Lord's people. By the way, this is what you're supposed to do on the first day, on the first month, the 14th day of the month, you're to have the festival of Passover. Done. It shaped your lives. Pentecost, it actually comes from a Greek word. You want to hear the Greek word? Pentecoste. That's the Greek word. That's where we get the English word. You know what Pentecoste means? 50. 50. It arrives 50 days after Passover. So in the Old Covenant, you would have had the Feast of Passover, which was linked with the unleavened bread. And what you'd do is you'd count 7 weeks. And in each week, there were 7 days. So some of you children, help me with this. What's 7 times 7? Help me. 49. Thank you very much. And now add 1 day. How many? 50. So, and it was always on a Sunday. So you'd have Passover, and then the Lord would say, I want you to count 7 weeks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 49 days. Now add a day, and that's 50. We're going to call that the 50th day. We're going to call it Pentecoste. We're going to call it Pentecost. Well, Pentecost was one of the 3 major feasts in the Old Covenant calendar. Remember, their calendar was to instruct. This is what the Lord has done. This is how you're to live. Okay? The 3rd feast was the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. This is very interesting. So you have Passover. You count 50 days and you come to Pentecost. And then later in the year, you have the Feast of Booths. We could call it this. Pardon for sin, Passover, the Lord provides the lamb. Pentecost, the Lord grants His provision and His presence. And then you're to dwell in booths in a very unique way. So we're just going to call it this. Pardon and presence and a new dwelling place. This is very... Now, let me give you a little bit more summary on these 3 feasts. Because if we're going to ask the question, how is the day of Pentecost fulfilled? What's going on in this passage? And it will help you understand so much of what else is going on in this passage. Let's back up a little bit. Passover. You know what Passover was. First month, 14th day of the month, it's the Lord's Passover. It marked the end of the warnings and the plagues, and it marked the beginning of deliverance from slavery and bondage. It's pardon. It's a feast of redemption. It's a feast of get out of slavery. Get going and move. You remember the blood of a male lamb, not just a lamb, but a male lamb had to be placed over the door, or else devastation would enter the doors. If there was blood marking the house, the death angel would pass over. So that death angel was both to protect as well as to inflict punishment. Somebody says, forget the blood. I'm not going to do what the Lord says to do. Forget it. There was death firstborn. That's Passover. Count how many days now for the next feast? 50 days to Pentecost. It was related to the seasons of the year. I'd like to give you some summaries on Pentecost. Here we are. At the time of Pentecost, a new grain offering was to be offered to the Lord. Something different is going to happen. The Lord has granted you pardon. Now in your lives, you're going to reflect upon what the Lord has done and how He shapes you. You're going to count 50 days. And you know what the ministers are to do? They're to offer a new grain offering, something of a hint of what's to come. The Lord is in charge of the seasons. The Lord's in charge of everything. He got you out of slavery. And there's something else that's to be offered. Loaves of bread. Loaves of bread are to be offered. Day of Pentecost. That's interesting. But there's more. In the history of Old Testament Israel, Pentecost became associated with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Now, just a moment ago, we heard from Exodus 19, where the Lord gave the law on Sinai. That's interesting. That was a time of great noise. The earth was shaking. It's as if there was a storm going on. And there was lightning. There was fire from the sky, fire from heaven, when the law was given, when the Word of God came forth. That's fascinating. So we have God pardoning His people. You count 50 days, and you have the Lord saying, okay, now something new is going to happen. There's going to be bread. There's going to be a new grain offering. And this became associated with the word of the Lord from heaven and the shaking and wind and fire. That sounds a little bit like Acts chapter 2. But we'll get to that in a moment. Oh, by the way, when the Lord gave the law on Sinai to Moses, Moses went up to Sinai, the Lord gave the law. He also gave instructions for His tabernacle. Oh, wait, I need to do this again. We start with pardon, with Passover. We go forward to Pentecost, where the Lord provides for His people, and there's something new is going to happen. And when the Lord gives His word through the shaking of the mountain and the fire, the Lord gives instructions for His tabernacle, His dwelling place. And the next major festival is Booths. So it's, in a sense, when you're reading the Old Testament, it's actually rather clear. There are three main feasts. It goes from pardon to the Lord's provision to a dwelling place. I wonder what this has to do with Jesus Christ. I wonder what this has to do with the day of Pentecost. I wonder what this has to do with the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost. Okay. The Feast of Booths was at the end of the agricultural season. It was a 7-day festival, 7 days where people lived in lean-tos or huts to be reminded that the Lord delivered you from slavery. While in the wilderness, the Lord provided for you, and you are now going to be the dwelling place of the Lord. So, there's a little bit of the background. Now let's change gears. The fulfillment of Pentecost. That's what's in front of us here in Acts chapter 2. Jesus has ascended. Jesus' physical body with flesh and blood and bone and hair and eye color has ascended and is departed. It's gone. According to Colossians, it's that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Still with a body to this day. Still with a body. Bless you. Jesus has ascended and His body is now in place. The church. So Jesus has departed in one sense, but He's also provided for His church, His redeemed people. And He's going to provide for them. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit so that His church may be His church. This is not weird or freaky or odd. This is the Father showing His love for us. He loves us so much that He'll deliver us from slavery. Jesus Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. That's good. What else has the Lord done? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us of Himself, His very Holy Spirit, so that we may be temples of the living God. This is why we have a feast today. This is wondrous. But fire. The presence of God, yes, God's presence in pardon, God's presence in provision, and God's presence in our lives as the new dwelling place of the Lord. Fire. Why fire? How did the flames sit on their heads? I don't know. Your imagination. Some of the children now are probably drawing pictures after the service. They're here, Pastor Neil, this is what I think happened. Great. What happened? But what is fire in the Bible? Fire is the very presence of God. Let me explain this to you. God's presence is likened to fire throughout the Bible. Our God is a consuming fire. And some people think, oh. But in the tabernacle, in the Lord's dwelling place, there were lamps that were to be kept lit continually. Leviticus 24 says, you're to have these lamps and they're to always be burning because it's the place of my presence. You're to always have the fire going. God is known by His glory. And you know what glory is? It's brightness. If you were to come face to face with the glory of God, you'd be blinded. The Lord led His children in the wilderness. How? With a fire cloud during the day and fire at night. People sometimes think that, well, the fire went out during the day. No, it was a fire cloud. And at night, you know, the lights of the earth go down and we see the fire. That's how the Lord leads His people. Fire also speaks of the constant sacrifices. I'm in need of pardon all the time, and the Lord provides sacrifices. When the temple was built and the sacrifices were presented in 2 Chronicles 7, you know what happened? Fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices. I'll take that. Now we come to Acts chapter 2, and fire is on each of the disciples. Somehow, fire is on them. And we know what that means. Each one of us, each one of you, are to be living sacrifices. You're claimed by the Lord. We are, each one of us, by the Holy Spirit, to be temples of the living God. That means we're to live in a certain way. Oh, but there's more, and this is fascinating. When the day of Pentecost had been fulfilled, remember our Old Testament reading from Exodus 19? Moses goes up on Sinai and the Lord gives the law. If it is true that it was at Pentecost that the Lord gave the law to Moses, that was a time of shaking and quaking and lightning and fire and noise. We read that just a moment ago. What happened then? Moses ascended the mountain. Here, Jesus ascended into the heavens. It's as if the Lord is saying, I'm fulfilling everything that I have said. Moses, what happened then? He came down with the stone tablets. He came down with the Lord's instruction. Here, Jesus sends His Spirit, and His Spirit empowers Peter to preach His Word. One goes up, the Word comes down. One goes up, the Word comes down. This is Pentecost fulfillment. Whatever could this mean? It means that the Lord is in charge of all of this. Oh, there's something else. You remember that Moses, when he went up to receive the law, Moses ascended up to receive the law, he was delayed. How long is it going to take? And at that time, Aaron led the people in the formation of a golden calf. What was the result? Bible trivia. What was the result? Moses delayed. He went up to receive the word of the Lord. He ascended, received the word of the Lord. We don't know what's become of Moses. Get any gold? You have any jewelry? Pull it off. Pop it in here. It's good. Forms this golden calf. What happened? It's very interesting. The Bible says in Exodus 32 that about 3,000 people died. Here, Jesus, the faithful servant, the faithful priest, just before he goes up, says, I want you to wait. There's going to be a delay. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Wait. Trust me. I don't want any Aarons out there saying, pull and pluck and pop it in here. Just wait for the promise of the Father. And what was the result? And with many other words, Simon Peter finishes his sermon. He testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. It's fascinating. The Lord is fulfilling his word. This is the day of Pentecost being fulfilled. Moses gave the stone tablets, and Moses gave the instructions about the tabernacle and the temple of the Lord, the place of the Lord's presence. And you know what happens now in Acts? It's as if the Lord is saying, for everything that I have done, I have provided for your pardon. You are my cleansed people now. I am now giving you of myself, my Holy Spirit. You will now be my faithful temple people. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, of course. And what happens right after this in the book of Acts? The temple is filled with demons, and there's all kinds of sick people. And Simon Peter's out there saying, this temple's going down. This is no longer the true temple because God has his people, his dwelling place. So what does the dwelling place look like? The absence of Christ's body, the presence of Christ's body. The ascension of Christ, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The lifting up of the Word made flesh, and the giving of the Word to be preached unto flesh. And the fulfillment of all the promises, all of the feasts, the pardon, the presence, the new dwelling place into a community like this. Like this. Like you. Like us. And what does that community look like? Right after that sermon, if you were to read in Acts chapter 2, and they, the disciples, whatever could this mean? The loud noise and the wind and the flame and the sermon. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We are a people who pay attention to the apostles' teaching. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. And you know, sometimes that's difficult. Just like paying attention to the apostles' doctrine is sometimes difficult. Having fellowship with one another is difficult. The breaking of the bread and in prayers. What does the new covenant community look like? What does the fulfillment of Pentecost look like? It looks like this. A people who have been pardoned. A people who have the presence of the Spirit of God in guidance and in conviction and in confirmation. And a people who show forth the presence of God to a watching world. Press on, paying attention, continuing steadfast in the apostles' teaching. Bless you. In fellowship. In the breaking of bread and in the prayers. For this is what our Lord has appointed for His church. The day of Pentecost has been fulfilled. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord, cause Your Word to sink deeply into our hearing. Grant us by the provision of Your Holy Spirit to live in all faithfulness, bearing Your name. May we continue steadfastly in Your Word, in fellowship with one another, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. We pray this through Jesus, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, and all of God's people said. Amen.